Okay, can I just say something crazy?
I love crazy.
All my life has been a series of doors in my face, and then suddenly I bump into you.
I was thinking the same thing, because, like, I've been searching my whole life to find my own place. And maybe it's the party talking or the chocolate fondue.
But with you,
I found my place.
I see your face,
and it's nothing like I've ever known before. Love is an open door. Love is an open door. Love is an open door.
With you.
With you.
With you.
With you.
Love is an open door.
I mean, it's crazy.
What?
Finish each other's
sandwiches.
That's what I was gonna say.
I've never met someone who thinks so much like me.
This is NPR.
Did you ever have to find a way to survive? And you knew your choices were bad, but you had to survive.
American Hustle is out on DVD. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from David O. Russell, who directed and co-wrote the film. He's described American Hustle and his films The Fighter and Silver Linings Playbook as a trilogy with a common theme of reinvention. Join us.
Support comes from Dr. John Krellick, performing home sleep testing to help diagnose sleep apnea. Indicators of sleep apnea may include snoring, tiredness, obesity, diabetes, and high blood pressure. More information at junosleepdoctor.com.
Hey everyone, this is Todd Grebe of Todd Grebe and Cold Country. We're longtime Alaskans who play American roots music with a honky-tonk flavor. Join me and my band for a special Folkfest edition live television recording for the new Alaska Original Series on 360 North. We'll play an hour concert on April 12th during the dinner break on the Saturday of Folkfest in the new At 360 performance space at KTOO and 360 North. Admission is free, doors open at 4:30, and cameras roll at 5. Hope to see you there.
And welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, April 10th. My name is Shona Strausser. I'm so lucky today to have an amazing show lineup for you. So starting off, we'll talk to Kim Hecox about his new book and Beth Weigel about upcoming events at the library. We'll talk with Bonsoir Catan, the guest artist for the 40th annual Alaska Folk Festival. We'll also hear a short little interview done by Scott Burton with Todd Grebe, and that he's playing a concert here this Saturday. We'll talk more about that later. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up, as she is every Thursday. We have Writer's Almanac and more here on Juno Afternoon. And first, National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. On Capitol Hill, members of the U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs heard testimony Wednesday about public education. About 93% of Native students in the U.S. attend public schools operated by local districts, both on and off tribal lands. Testimony was given about some successes in Montana, Arizona, and Minnesota. Witnesses and senators agreed on the importance of early childhood education and the need to increase the number of teachers. Superintendent Dr. Alberto Siquero says they find educators for Tohono O'odham students by recruitment and posting jobs. He says they've leveraged dollars to become the highest paid school district in Arizona.
We also provide highly intensive professional development program that's aligned to our curriculum and our expectations of instruction. They are spelled out fully in their contract what we expect. You know, it's not just about the money. It's just not about the professional development. We work really hard of creating an environment that's effective for them as much as it is for our students. We spend a lot of time in indoctrination of the Tohono O'odham culture because the majority of our teachers are not Native American, yet alone Tohono O'odham.
Other issues addressed included school construction, mental health, and high-speed internet. Witnesses told senators about the importance of forward funding and the need for appropriations to be met and received on time. The hearing was part of a series examining Indian education. A plan to fund a museum in Oklahoma to celebrate Native Americans is closer to becoming a reality. As KGOU's Kirk Gortney reports, the final step in the process hinges on the decision of one man.
Oklahoma House Speaker Jeff Hickman has said he wants at least 51 Republicans to support the plan to dip into the state's unclaimed property fund to spend $40 million to complete the American Indian Cultural Center and Museum. Other lawmakers say there are enough votes in the House to pass the bill, but whether Hickman will bring it to a vote on the House floor remains uncertain. Some House members have expressed their concerns that completing the unfinished museum isn't a priority, especially with the state budget facing a $185 million revenue shortfall. The mothballed museum sits at the intersection of Interstates 35 and 40 in Oklahoma City. The plan would use the $40 million to match another $40 million in pledges from each of the state's 39 federally recognized tribes, private donors, and the city of Oklahoma City. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gortney in Oklahoma City.
A powwow at the University of Oklahoma is celebrating 100 years. The spring contest has been held since 1914. Susan Shannon reports about the long-running university event.
The beginning of April marks the spring celebration at the University of Oklahoma. It also starts month-long activities recognizing the Native presence at OU. School officials say it's not just about the Native community on campus, but it's an opportunity for all students to participate in recognizing Native culture. Turner Hunt, Muscogee Creek, is the Cultural Affairs Chair for the American Indian Student Association.
One of the themes that we wanted to do is to use as much OU alumni and OU faculty as possible, because this is about our university and how we give back and how, you know, people have come up and learned and have an important part of culture, but they're also very important roles here at the university to help students go on and graduate.
The celebration also acknowledges the university's alumni. Alumni say there's a long tradition of educating Native people at OU. Alumni often come out to the events and share memories about Native American clubs that used to be on campus. The powwow Saturday will honor alumni and feature the crowning of Miss and Mr. Indian OU. In Norman, Oklahoma, I'm Susan Shannon.
In April 1969, a group of Port Chilkoot totem carvers in Alaska were contracted to create a totem for a World Expo in Japan. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, with funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. The Convention and Tourism Department of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce provides convention and event planning services for Native American organizations. Information at ahcnm.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And you're listening to Juno Afternoon, Thursday, April 10th. My name is Shona Strausser, and my first guests in the studio today are Beth Weigel from the Juno Public Library, and also she has author with her, Kim Hecox, whose upcoming book is actually brand new, yeah? It's John Muir and the Ice That Started a Fire. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Shona.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Kim, is this so this is definitely not your first book. You've written quite a few.
Right, correct.
Yeah, so John Muir and the Ice That Started a Fire. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of the inspiration for writing this book?
Many good biographies have been written on John Muir, and I realized none of them focused on his time in Alaska. And it was significant for him. Alaska was the wildest place he ever experienced, and his adventures here by canoe with his Tlingit guides were the wildest, most outrageous wilderness experiences he ever had. And they're sort of glossed over in the other biographies, and yet this place became a measuring stick for him, a metric from which he could measure every other place. Went back to California and realized it's under siege, that it's being changed by so many people, and that Alaska gave him a new vision. He fell in love with the glaciers, and he became basically the point of the spear of the American conservation movement. So yeah. Alaska changed him, and he changed America.
Yeah. So you'll be reading from this book on Monday, right, at the library. Beth, do you want to give us those details?
Right. So on Monday, that's the 14th, right after all your folk festing is done, we'll get back to business. And at 6:30, he'll be down at the downtown Juneau Library, where he'll read from the book, talk about the book. We'll probably spend a little time talking, too, about the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act, which we're promoting this talk as part of our year-long celebration in 2014 of the Wilderness Act. And it'll be a great opportunity to meet Kim and to hear a little bit more about John Muir. Of course, we just had Lee Stetson up here in doing his performance of John Muir, so this will be dig in deeper. We got to see the man, so to speak, and now we'll get to dig in a little deeper and learn a little bit more about his time here in Alaska.
That's great. So, Kim, you're no stranger to the wilderness yourself, and I was wondering if you could just kind of let the listening audience know about your own personal wilderness experience and kind of how that maybe informed this book or why you decided to write about this particular.
I first came to Alaska in the spring of 1979. I was a new park ranger in Glacier Bay. And I had a name for myself in high school. I called myself Mr. Mediocrity. I never excelled in anything. And once I became a ranger with the National Park Service and worked in Alaska, first Glacier Bay, then Denali and Katmai, and became a backcountry ranger and had these outrageous experiences in kayaks and climbing mountains and such and walking over glaciers, I thought, okay, I know who I am. And, of course, I was introduced to John Muir, Travels in Alaska, his most important book in a way that, and it's the book that's still most widely read. All of his books are still in print. Mm-hmm. They were all published about 100 years ago. Travels in Alaska is the most widely read. It was the last book he wrote. He put it off till the end because it was so important to him. He wanted to get it right. When he passed away, Christmas Eve, 1914, 100 years ago, this coming Christmas Eve, the finished manuscript was on his bedside table in the hospital in Los Angeles when he passed away. And so that really resonated with me, and I thought, nobody's ever done a biography of John Muir in Alaska, and it needs to be done. And it just, the ice that started the fire, he fell in love with the glaciers of Alaska. He would become to the glaciers of Alaska what Jacques Cousteau would be to the oceans and Carl Sagan to the stars.
Mm-hmm.
He saw them as alive, as spiritual, as emblematic of so much, especially in our warming world. So I thought, wow, here's an opportunity to really write about some fun adventures and make some good connections to the world we live in today.
In your book, what do you sense of the craziest adventure did you find that he went on?
That John Muir experienced, by far, I believe, he would agree with me, when he came up in 1879, right, he was engaged to be married the next spring, and he thought, all right, this is it. Before I settle down, he was about to marry the only daughter of a prosperous California fruit merchant, and he would become the head of the household. He would become a businessman. He'd become a farmer. So he came up here in July 1879, landed at Fort Wrangell, and stayed there for a couple months just botanizing and doing a little mountaineering. And then he got in a canoe, a 35-foot-long canoe with four Tlingits from that area, the Stikine area, Fort Wrangell, and a Presbyterian missionary, S. Hall Young. And they took off and covered 800 to 900 miles in 40 days in October and November of 1879. Think about it. An open canoe traveling in southeast Alaska in October and November. When they came all the way up to Glacier Bay, the land was so unlike what Vancouver had seen 85 years earlier. That wasn't good enough. Then they went all the way up Lynn Canal to the Chilkat country so that S. Hall Young could proselytize to the Chilkat Tlingit up there. And Muir spoke to them, and they loved him because he didn't speak on Christianity. He spoke on brotherhood, about learning to get along with one another. And one elderly Tlingit said, for the first time, a white man has come to us, and he's not speaking across the river to us. He's on the same side of the river that we are, asking us just, we're all brothers. And they paddled all the way back to Fort Wrangell. Then he was delayed getting back down to California and married his sweetheart and went on from there.
Wow.
It was his first of 7 trips to Alaska. And then he did the same thing next year, 1880, another 700-mile canoe journey with three Tlingits and the same Presbyterian minister, and a little dog named Stikine.
That's the one the kids know about.
That's right.
That was in 1880, his second grade canoe
that's
journey.
Incredible.
It's crazy over the top what he did. Climbing inside glaciers atop them, going up mountains, climbing 1,500 feet up a mountain in wind and rain. And the Tlingit said, "What? He must be a witch to do this. What's wrong with this man?" And S. Hall Young said, "He goes there to seek knowledge. There's nothing wrong with him."
Oh, that's great. That's great. So you'll be reading from the book. Will you be signing as well?
Sure, of course.
Great.
I should say, we hope so. You know, his book is just out at the beginning of April here, and Hearthside will be joining us over at the library for book signings. We have our fingers crossed that their 30 copies that they've ordered will be here in time. So if not, we'll get him back here to sign some copies some other day.
Sure, I'll come back and we can make arrangements somehow. Maybe people could... I could then sign the books, and they could pick the books up later at the
Perfect.
Library or Hearthside. And I'll be on the May 23rd cruise for Hearthside Books as well.
Oh, great. So, Beth, Kim, I'm really... That sounds like a great evening, and how fun. How fun to just read about
stories.
And, yeah, great stories. Beth, can you tell us about some other upcoming events at the library?
Well, we're very lucky. Kim isn't the only amazing author joining us this month. We also have John Straley, another one of our favorite Southeast Alaskan authors, of course, a fun mystery fiction writer, coming to visit with us on Saturday, April 26th at the downtown library. He'll be around at 8 p.m. I believe he's also doing some other workshops with the 49 Writers Group, so keep your eyes open for that. But he'll definitely be reading from his new book, Cold Storage, Alaska, about this funky little town, Cold Storage, Alaska, that's kind of dying, and you know the main character Clive comes back from being in prison, and all kinds of strange things start happening as they do in Alaska. So that should be fun. And we also have our of course ongoing programs at the library. Our third Thursday family night next week, I'm kind of excited about that. My parents will be in town, and they're gonna do a little square dancing for the kids, so that'll be a fun night out at the Valley on Thursday the 17th. We have our ongoing Spanish programs as well, movies in Spanish at the Douglas Library on Tuesday the 15th. To the Arctic is the Spanish movie in Spanish this month. And we have our new Spanish story times happening at the Valley on Wednesday evenings as well. Don't forget, we'll have just our Valley location closed on Easter Sunday. The other two locations will be open. And that kind of takes us into May, where we're going to get into some really crazy stuff, visiting the schools, and then we're off to the summer reading program, so we'll be back to talk about that in May.
Awesome. Always a busy time at all the public libraries here in town. And you can definitely check out Kim Hecox's reading from his book, John Muir and the Ice That Started a Fire, this Monday. So that's after Folk Fest. You're done with that, so you have some time. You can kind of settle into the library there at 6:30 p.m. Definitely check that out. Kim and Beth, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shona.
And Scott Burton has been talking to an amazing artist, a musician who is here in town. He did an interview with him. It's Todd Grebe, and you might recognize him from Barefoot Bluegrass. But he also has his own band that he is now running out of Nashville, and that's Todd Grebe and the Cold Country. And here's an interview that Scott Burton did with him.
Why don't you start by telling us about the band?
The original concept for the band was basically a bluegrass band without a banjo, as far as the instrumentation, upright bass, acoustic guitar, mandolin, and fiddle. And the reason for that is I've been playing in a traditional bluegrass band for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years before I started Cold Country. And I was writing a lot of material that I felt didn't really fit in necessarily in the bluegrass mold. And part of the problem was the banjo, at least in my mind. And actually, in retrospect, banjo still works on a lot of the stuff, but I just felt like it gave me a little more freedom in songwriting.
And who's in the band?
My wife, Angela, always plays with me, and she plays fiddle. My buddies, Connor McManaman on upright bass, and Jason Norris on mandolin, and I couldn't be happier with that. They're excellent musicians. It's always fun to play with them. of course, me and Jason and Angela kind of were in the last formation of Barefoot last couple of years, and so it's always great to play with them. And me and Connor have been playing music together for about 13 years.
Okay. How would you describe the music you play?
You know, Americana is a little nondescript, I guess, but that's pretty much in one word what it is. But it's pretty much bluegrass infused honky-tonk or country music, I guess. But we just, you know, we just play American music.
You write all the songs, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. We're about to release this EP here this week, and so that makes 2.5 albums that I've released of original material. And so we try to play all of that material, and then I have another half a dozen or so songs that I've yet to record that we play, but generally we play all original music.
I see. Tell us a little bit about your songwriting process.
It's always a little different, to be honest. I don't really have a straight-ahead method that I use every time. I just kind of write when it strikes me. It's pretty difficult for me to just sit down and say, oh, I'm going to write a song today, come up with a concept and execute it. A lot of songwriters do that and are great at it, but it doesn't really work for me. Every once in a while I've been able to do it. But mostly I'll just have an idea lyrically or melodically. It'll just kind of pop in my head, and it seems interesting to me, so I'll just kind of explore it and see where it goes, and may write itself out in 30 minutes, or it may take a year. It's always different, I guess.
What about your roots? How do you identify these days?
Transient. I haven't really had a address for right about a year now. So I spent last summer in Alaska, and I'm spending this summer in Alaska, and I did a lot of traveling this winter. I'm trying to get back to Nashville. Want to make it happen. We really enjoyed living down there. It was a lot of fun, and definitely feel like we can get a little more out of that, you know, another couple of years at least. So, but, you know, on some level, I'll always identify as Alaskan. You know, I was born here, lived here for 30 years, and I always come back.
You excited for Folk Fest?
We are so excited for Folk Fest, absolutely. Well, I already think it's going to be a banner year with the 40th anniversary, and we have a lot of friends that are going. I know it's kind of galvanized people from all over the state to come down, so I think it's going to be really exciting. We are, of course, releasing this EP, Nothing Left to Lose, this weekend, and we have a lot of shows while we're there, so we're going to be looking forward to playing a bunch of music and hanging out with all our friends.
What can we expect for the TV recording on Saturday?
You know, we're going to play a bunch of new material, actually, including the 4 new songs off the EP. We have about 7 or 8 relatively new songs that we're going to be exploring, and then we're going to play some of the songs that we've had around for a little longer and try to run the gamut a little bit.
Where all are you playing in town?
We'll be at the Alaskan on Friday night at 10 o'clock, and we'll be at the Red Dog on Saturday night at 9:30, and the main stage 7:15 on Saturday, and of course playing for you guys at 5 o'clock at the 360 North Studios. So we're really looking forward to it.
Well, thanks for your time, Todd.
Yeah, no problem, Scott. You got it, bud.
We'll see you soon.
And that was Todd Grebe being interviewed by KTOO's Scott Burton. And thank you so much for that interview. You can check out his band on here at 360 in live in the studio. It'll be recorded for TV, so that'll be really cool. You should check that out. That is Saturday afternoon in between the day and evening concerts. So lots going on. More folk festival here at Juno Afternoon Studios. And love it. Ken Waldman here, Alaska's fiddling poet, is here with me in the studio. Welcome.
I'm here. Thanks, Shona, for having me here.
Sure. Sure. So you've got a lot going on, sir.
I've been having a lot going on for years, I think, since I was living here. I think I left, and then I haven't even caught my breath hardly.
Nice. So you, Alaska's fiddling poet. So what is that? I mean, I've read lots of stuff, but what does that actually mean for you?
What does it mean? It means that when I was living, I lived here twice. I lived here in 1988, 89. I lived in North Douglas. a year that Bob Banghart and Laura Lucas were out of town. I lived in their place for a year. And then in 94, 98, I, for the most part, was living in the Coast Guard house, that yellow house on, I forget the name of this, that little street there by Cope Park. But when I started doing this work, I think it was 95, doing this full time, where I was at the Southeast Alaska State Fair, and they wanted a five-word or less description. And I did it in three words. I just said Alaska's Fiddling Poet, and it stuck. So that's what it means to me, is that it was an accidental moniker. And sometimes when I'm down south, I say Alaska's Fiddling Poet, and then I say self-proclaimed. It's not like the, you know, one of the governors of the legislature has ever officially recognized me as such.
Well, it could happen if you put it out in the universe.
I know. It's kind of sometimes, and it happens either, and as I've been doing this for these years, it's kind of like two different things happen. Sometimes it opens a door that wouldn't have opened otherwise, and I've played some wonderful places. Then there's other places that they go, we don't know what it is, but we don't like it. So the Alaskan Fiddling Poet thing. But overall, you know, I've been a longtime resident of the state. I play fiddle, and I'm a writer with, I mean, I have an MFA from University of Alaska Fairbanks, so I'm like, he's really like the science guy. I mean, he's really a writer, you know?
Like, it's legit,
yeah,
people.
Yeah. So
you have books, you have CDs.
Sure.
And so, because you're touring all the time, right?
I wish I was all the time. I mean, I don't turn down work, but I mean, I tour an awful lot. I mean, that's how I've made my living, and I've kind of realize that this is, I guess I'm a rambling guy. This is what I do for my income. I've been touring for years. I have six poetry collection, a kid's book, and a memoir. And the memoir is about doing this work. I first got into it somewhat accidentally, but it was interesting and intriguing enough that I've kept doing it, and I think I've gotten better at it. So as one of the things I say is, the good jobs are bigger and better than ever. And I mean, some of the jobs I have in the coming year are substantial, and the strange jobs are always going to be strange, just in new and different ways. You know, so
of course,
yeah.
So you actually are playing Folkfest here pretty soon.
Tonight. Yeah. So let's see So 10:30. So we're 7 hours. Just about,
Yeah, about 7 hours away from the gig.
Yeah.
So you go on at 10:30, and if you make it down tonight, because you'll also is of course the guest band is tonight.
Sure, and actually I have a second home in Louisiana, so I know folks in that band. So it's they're people that I can run into when I'm out and about in Louisiana. It's like where I live is right around where they all are.
Oh, that's very cool.
So yeah.
Cool.
It's kind of like combining the two of my home places. So, yeah.
Oh, well, it's kind of a perfect union for you here.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Oh, and folks in Louisiana, I mean, you got a great band. And it's funny, too. I was looking at it at Full Circle that when I moved to Alaska, I moved to Fairbanks for an MFA program in creative writing. It was 1985 to 1988. And I'd never come to Juneau ever, except for the folk festival, was the first time in 1988 where I stayed. I remember crashing on the floor at Jeff Brown's house, and the guest artists that year were Marc and Anne Savoie and Michael Doucet, who were who are still around and play. I mean, I know not well, but Marc and Anne's kids who are living and playing. Right around there, Wilson and Joelle. I mean, they're like just like Bonsoir Catan. They're all everybody's friends, and it's a small world like that.
Of course. Well, so that's funny because Jeff Brown, KTO extraordinaire,
yes.
Of course. Well, he was telling me that you have a book called Moochers. I actually haven't read it.
I do not have a book called Moochers. Jeff is practicing hyperbole, I think. So I have a book called Are You Famous? And the subtitle, Touring America with Alaska's Fiddling Poet.
He had me going then.
Well, Jeff is like, he's the clown prince,
No, he fooled me. Totally fooled.
Moochers. Now I've kind of, you know, I got my button-down shirt on.
You know?
So, yeah.
Well, maybe that's the title of the next book.
Well, we won't get into that. I'll tell you after our interview what the title of the next one is.
Awesome. Well, that is tonight. You're playing at 10:30.
It'll be a really fun set, too.
Ken Waldman, Alaska's fiddling poet. You have a website. Can you tell people
about
that?
Sure. It's just www.kenwaldman.com. So, and if you go into a search engine and probably go Alaskan fiddling poet, there you are, right there. And I should also mention at Sunday at 1:30, I'm doing a workshop on, like, music business. So anybody who... You know, wants to, you may not, but yeah, you know, moms and dads, keep your kids away from this workshop. But it's the kind of thing of like it'll end up being a music business workshop. So when I started doing this, I had been a college professor. I taught in Sitka and in Nome, and then on the other side of that, I was back in Juneau in the mid 90s, and started this business kind of on a lark. And now, you know, almost 20 years later, I'm playing all over the place, and it's my livelihood. And you, too, can, you know, learn some of those tricks.
And that's, you said Sunday at
1:30. Sunday at 1:30 is workshop, you know, in Centennial Hall.
I know there's a lot of young people here who could really benefit from
those.
Yeah,
sure. And that's partly why, I mean, that's my professorial, you know, cap on for that.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Well, Ken, thank you so much. I'll definitely be there tonight at 10:30
to Shona.
Check you out on the Folk Festival main stage.
Okay. I'll be there. And I have some great people joining me, so come on out.
That's right. Or you can listen live online at KRNN.org. And here's a little Garrison Keillor with Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 10th of April, 2014. It was on this day, 1710, the first law regulating copyright, first law in the world, issued in Great Britain, making it possible for authors to truly own their own work. It's the birthday of the labor leader Dolores Huerta, born in Dawson, New Mexico, 1930, who in the early 60s, along with Cesar Chavez, founded the United Farm Workers Union. It's the birthday of the newspaper publisher Joseph Pulitzer, born in Budapest, 1847, 17 when he came to this country. He joined the army after discharge, went to St. Louis, became a reporter, and began to buy newspapers, including the New York World. Later, Pulitzer endowed the Columbia University School of Journalism and established the Pulitzer Prizes. It was on this day, 1912, the Titanic set sail from Southampton, England, with 2,228 passengers and lifeboats for only half that many. And it was on this day in 1925 that F. Scott Fitzgerald's novel, The Great Gatsby, was published. Fitzgerald was already famous when the book came out. His first novels, This Side of Paradise and The Beautiful and the Damned, had sold well. He and his wife, Zelda, were celebrities. Dorothy Parker said of the two of them, they did both look as though they had just stepped out of the sun. In the spring of 1924, the two of them and their young daughter headed for Europe. He was looking for a place to work on his new book. They headed to a town called Valescure on the French Riviera in what Fitzgerald called the hot, sweet south of France, rented a villa on the hillside. Fitzgerald worked on his book. He thought it was idyllic there. Zelda was not so happy because her husband was very busy, and she distracted herself by falling in love with a French naval officer. They moved to Rome in the fall of 1924. He made the final edits on The Great Gatsby. He wasn't sure about the title. He thought of calling it On the Road to West Egg or Among the Ash Heaps and Millionaires. Finally decided on The Great Gatsby, and then while the book was being printed, he suddenly came up with a new title, Under the Red, White, and Blue, and his editor, Maxwell Perkins, had to convince him that it was too late and they should stick with The Great Gatsby. The reviews were mostly good when it came out on this day, 1925, but sales were bad. First run was 20,000 copies. There was a second printing of 3,000, and some of those copies were still in the warehouse when Fitzgerald died 15 years later. Here's a poem for today by Anne Iverson, The Cats. To find such glory in a dehydrated pea on the tile between the stove and fridge. To toss the needs of others aside when you simply aren't in the mood for affection. To find yourselves so irresistible. And always in a small spot of sun, you sprawl and spread out the pleasure of yourselves. Never fretting, never wanting to go back to erase your few decisions, to find yourself so remarkable all the day long. The Cats by Anne Iverson from Come Now to the Window, published by Laurel Poetry Collective and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And by Anchor Bay Entertainment with August Osage County, directed by John Wells and starring Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts on Blu-ray and DVD. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And you're listening to Juno Afternoon. This is Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, April 10th, and I'm so excited, actually, here in this studio. I'm just caught on fire here a little bit. I'm very excited. Bonsoir, Catan. Bonsoir, Catan. Actually, you all should probably say it for me. So in the studio, I have Christine, and Anya, and welcome to town. Y'all just got off of a flight.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah, so we'll, you know, because I'm lots of people say it correctly and lots of people butcher it like I do. So
you're actually pretty good.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. You want to say it?
Sure, it's bonsoir. So you got that one right. And then catin.
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 Oh, nice. It's got definitely some twang in there.
It does.
I like that.
It means good night, doll.
Doll. Okay, so I was looking at your website. I was like, sweetheart doll.
Yeah, I'm kind of sweetheart doll.
Okay, know. Okay.
It's a term of endearment back home.
Oh, nice. So you're just hot off the plane. Did you come right from Louisiana, or where did you come from last here?
We actually flew through Seattle, so we had a nice relaxing night last night in the airport hotel.
Nice. And you're, you know, for folks that kind of don't know about who you are, you all have some amazing just history and background. And I'm just wondering if you could, you know, kind of tell people about, maybe you want to tell people about the music that you all play, because you're really entrenched and your history is actually, I mean, y'all are not very old. You're, you know? I'm like, wow, you all have just grown up with this music. So I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, everybody in the band was kind of grew up with music in different backgrounds, but we all were immersed in music since we were really young. And when we were friends, Christy and I have been knowing each other for a good 25 years. She started when she was really young, and all of us started playing music pretty young. And this band got together just really organically. We just were hanging out one night and just thought, wow, what great. You know, I was just hanging out with Christy and Yvette, say, wow, these women are so amazing. I would love to be in a band if y'all ever play in a band together. And so we just started it that way. But we all grew up playing music. I grew up, my father was Dewey Balfa, and I grew up hearing him and the Balfa brothers playing. And just didn't realize how blessed and fortunate I was to have that. And been, you know, it's made me so many awesome friends and just so many great ways to, you know, like I said earlier when we walked in, we'd rather play music than talk because it's an easy way to communicate with somebody. You don't have to, you know, even if you're a little shy or a little awkward, if you play music with somebody, you just like connect on a really intimate, deep level really quick and you just like all that other stuff just goes aside. So we feel really blessed to have that in our back pocket to make friends and travel all over the world. But this music is a big part of our socializing back home. We get together and, you know, play music for fun, or we play gigs. People are dancing all the time. There's lots of festivals. So
I think you'll love it here then.
I think you'll love it.
That's what we've been told.
Is it your first time to Alaska?
It's my first time. Christine's been here a couple times with her the band Belfast Toujours.
It's definitely my first time up here.
Anya's first time.
Oh, great. And you started playing accordion a little when you're little.
Yeah, she's not so big right now.
Hey, nah. I was 10 when I started playing accordion.
Wow.
So, doing math, it's been about 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. You know, it's just kind of an instrument there's so many, you know, accordion players down home, and Cajun music is, like Christine said, such a big part of who we are and what we do in our community, and it's just kind of a natural fit. I picked it up one day, and it sort of made sense to me.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool. Anya, so many people, I've been talking to some fiddle players, and boy, they're pretty excited you're here.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm excited to be here, too.
Yeah.
Great.
Did you want to play a song?
Sure.
Sure.
Great. I love it.
This one's called the Hackberry Two-Step.
Yes, ma'am.
Get Miss Anya to sing it, and this is a song that Anya found that was recorded by a guy named Floyd LeBlanc and his magic fiddle. It's an old two-step.
About. I'm going to get spoiled in here. Lovely. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
So you do have, there's quite a few of you. There's three of you here right now, but you have three others that you're traveling with, too. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your other bandmates, too.
We have, on bass guitar, we have Yvette Landry. On drums, we have a sir, Mr. Danny DeVilliers. And on electric guitar, we have Megan Berard.
That's great. And you do have this. How old is this? Because I looked it up and I've listened to it. When did it come out, Light the Stars? It's a new...
Like yesterday.
No way!
Yeah, yeah.
This is yesterday?
We actually drop shipped it overnight to Juneau.
Yep.
Like it's like hot. You can like smell the...
Yeah, it's burning my fingers.
Smell the freshness. we rushed it to have it done for this trip, so.
Oh, very cool.
We're very excited about it.
It's called Light the Stars,
yes,
and you all got together in 2005, right?
Yep.
So that's kind
yep.
of when, and you said it was like after some jam sessions and
yep.
that kind of thing, and so is this your first full length? This is your second. Is there one other album too, or
third? This is our third.
Yeah. That's great.
First with this configuration.
Right. Okay.
And the third for the Yvette and I and Anya and Christine have been sort of the founding members. So, and we've added Danny and Megan recently. So.
Oh, that's great. So is it, as far as tunes going original, do you have original tunes and do you also play traditional things and it's kind of both of those things?
Yeah, a combination of both. This recording we're really excited about. Christy wrote, she was just, I don't know what, she was channeling some good stuff because she came up with a lot of really exciting new material for this record. But, you know, we think it's really important to play old traditional songs, but it's a living tradition, so we feel like we have things to write about today, so we think it's important to write our own stuff as well.
Yeah. Well, because you've got electric guitar and drums, too. I mean,
yes,
you all rock out.
Yeah, no, we like it all. We like it all. We like the old stuff. We love to rock out.
Oh, that's super fun. So you're playing tonight. You're our guest artist for the 40th Annual Alaska Folk Festival, and we're all really excited about it. So you have play tonight at 8 p.m., and also you've got a dance gig. You're going over to the Gold Town Nickelodeon to check out a movie premiere. Y'all are all over the place.
Yeah, so we're doing several workshops this weekend, too.
Yeah, that's actually one of, I think, a lot of our favorite parts is actually really getting to learn from brilliant artists. So we're very lucky. So thank you for coming up.
Thanks.
Do y'all have time for one more? Or
sure,
you just put that down.
Definitely.
I didn't even notice.
Pretty walls. Speaking of new tunes, this is an original tune that was written by Lisa Cormier from Down Home. It's a song called Si Je Pourrais Oublier, If I Could Forget.
yeah, we're going to have some good time dancing this weekend. About to waltz all over this place. Thank you so much. All right, so tonight you can check out definitely our guest band. That's tonight at 8 p.m. on the main stage over at Centennial Hall for the 40th annual Alaska Folk Festival. Welcome to town. We're really happy y'all are here.
We're honored. Thank you for
having us. Thank you so much.
Yes, our pleasure. And yeah, definitely check them out. And we actually have a little a song queued up here from another album, so we'll play that on the extra. So check them out tonight. You can also check out the full schedule of the Folk Festival online at ktoo.org and alaskafolkfestival.org. And I was also checking out your website a lot. I was wondering if you could let people know what that is real quick.
Yes, www.bonsoircatin.com.
BonsoirCatin.com.
You did it!
Yeah! And it's Light the Stars here and their upcoming album. It's hot. Smelly. Smells good. not smelly bad. Smelly like hot.
Hot.
Burning. Burning. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. I really
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. And coming up next, we'll talk to Nancy DeCherney here with Arts Up. She'll be in the studio in just a minute.
Well, the last of the late night wine is winding down.
Bonsoir, Kata. Very excited they're here. Lovely ladies. Check them out tonight. Their band here in town as the guest artists for the 40th annual Alaska Folk Festival. And speaking of awesome ladies, here in the studio with me, Nancy DeCherney. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, how are you?
Not too shabby.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's Folk Festival.
It is Folk Festival. All up
Sleep
in here.
Sleep deprived.
That's right. Little bags under my eyes. Whatever.
It's all right. It'll keep you awake. So just know that that's going on all over town, and you can find something anywhere at any time. So tonight at 7 o'clock, there is a Juno Wildlife Middle Schoolers Dodgeball Night. For something completely different.
Wait, wildlife dodgeball?
Yeah, W-Y-L-D. So it must be something for the Floyd Dryden Middle School folks.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's good.
I love dodgeball.
Uh-huh. I'll remember that. And we'll do that one of these days. It's karaoke night at McGivney's at 9 o'clock. And Goldtown is showing Ernest and Celestine, which is a lovely little film, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Friday night, or Friday, Goldtown showing You're in Charge. This is a comedy. It's a Folk Fest movie premiere and Cajun cookout with the people we were just listening to.
That's right. They're going to stop by there and have a little jam.
Mm-hmm.
That's Saturday or Friday?
It's Friday. It says at 3:30.
Friday. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it says here. At 6 p.m., the UAS Alumni and Friends Spring Dinner and Auction. And I understand there may be a few tickets left for that. That's out at UAS Egan Library, 796-6569 if you're interested. There's a Friday social for Sigla at the Jade Lounge at 6 p.m. Juno Lyric Opera. They're doing this hilariously and slightly bawdy, I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change musical. And to confuse everyone, they have cast A and cast B.
That's correct.
Which I think is great. So that means you have to go twice.
Yeah, because cast A, you want to see some folks. Cast B, you can
right.
check it out. Yeah.
So it's at 6:30 or 9, depending on your thing. And it's Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday there's a 3 p.m., and I believe it's cast B on Sunday.
Where is that again?
It's at the Holy Trinity, the New McPheeters Hall.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's getting rave reviews, so don't miss it, even though there's all these other things to do out there. So let's see, Saturday morning, 9 a.m., Heart of Hospice Run Walk at the Twin Lakes Shelter. This is a big fundraiser for hospice. And 9:30, right after you get done running, you can go to the Yacht Club and have the Frukost, the annual Norwegian breakfast.
Have you ever been to the Norwegian breakfast here in town?
No, I haven't, but it looks amazing.
It's awesome.
It has, the list of food is really good. And so, yes, go there. And it is a suggested donation of $5 to $15. So how bad could that be? At noon, it's the Slush Cup with Alaska Brewing Beer Garden at Eagle Crest, and the proceeds benefit Trail Mix and the Eagle Crest Foundation. I don't know, skiing and beer?
Hey,
in the spring.
What a perfect combo.
What a combination. Yes, indeedy. There's the at 1 o'clock, the Peregrine Club Spring Fling. This is a benefit for the Thunder Mountain High School Fall Sports. There are comic drawing over Alaska Robotics. There's something happening at 360 North at 5 p.m., and I don't know what it is.
You know, it's Todd Grebe and the country, what is this? The country, country something. Band.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, why am I forgetting? I just actually. Oh, it's Cold Country. Thank
okay,
you.
Alrighty.
Todd Grebe and Cold Country. And that's at 360, and it's a live performance film, you know, for TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing a bunch of new tunes, and he's awesome. People would know him from Barefoot.
Yeah,
the bluegrass guy.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so at 5 p.m., and your new studio is beautiful. So
that's awesome.
It's amazing. And it's a pay-as-you-can at the door, so have a nice visit over there. As I mentioned, you got the Lyric Opera. Also on Sunday, there's the Ukulele Jam over at Prospector Hotel. 1 p.m. celebrating Poetry Month. It's a poetry reading by the Monday Night Writers Group at the Douglas Library Meeting Room. And that's free on Sunday afternoon. Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's the Sunday Music at the Rookery with Tim Easton. And it's a Blues Fusion Sunday Social Dance Party at the Alaskan at 7 p.m. On Monday, Kim Hecox, John Muir, and the Ice That Started a Fire, this author, will be at the Downtown Library.
And we talked to him a little bit earlier today, and he was, I mean, awesome stories. Like, he knows a lot about John Muir and just really cool, fascinating tales about what's going on. So,
Tuesday, your taxes are due.
Oh
man,
that's nothing to do with art, Nancy.
Well, your major grant applications, art applications are due.
Also, okay, thanks for bringing it around for me because.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on this week, and forget the folk festival. Okay, but Cycle Alaska is doing a presentation by Trek over at 515 over at their bright red building, and the Alaska Design Forum has solid objects. And this is really interesting architectural stuff. So go and visit that. That's at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. I believe that is also on Tuesday at 10 in the morning is the day that all of us who want to use the high school auditoriums for any performances get together and arm wrestle each other to the floor for weekends. It's
I'd
really
like to
fun.
See it. I love it. I wish there was mud involved, too.
Yes, well, it could be. We could arrange that, I'm sure. Let's see. Wednesday at 6 p.m., they're having the International Fly Fishing Film Festival at Goldtown Nickelodeon.
And the Old Time String Band Jam is happening at 7 p.m. at the Red Dog Saloon. There is a charcoal drawing class with M.K. McNaughton starting on Thursday at 5:30. I just mentioned that because we probably won't get to it. And I think kindergarten registration starts, maybe. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, in case you got a kindergartner out there. So, it's, you know, there's a lot of things going on. It's a lively time, hot time in the Old Town tonight.
It is indeed. It is indeed.
It's the coffee and jam thing at the Jack tomorrow morning at 9.
Oh, really? I love the coffee and jam.
Well, come on over.
It's
they'll
so
be
relaxing.
Yeah, and they're just dancing and eating coffee and jam, and it's great.
And
a
you
lovely
know,
time.
Yeah, if you're a person who likes to stay up after Folk Fest goes down, so like you stay
midnight,
up until 11, midnight, whatever, there's an awesome thing on KRNN2 that says, and I think it's linked on KXLL, go to ktoo.org and you can find it. But James, one of the DJs at KXLL, put together kind of the Barflies guide to Folk Festival. Mm-hmm. Basically what it says, you know, who's playing at the Alaskan, who's playing at the Rendezvous, who's playing all over, the Red Dog has got people, the Imperial, actually they don't have a band, but the Viking has a band. You know, you should definitely check all this stuff out.
You have to get the paperwork on this because it's so confusing. Or else you just go walk up and down the street.
That's
kind of the
kind
best.
Of what I like to do.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get organized.
The only time I could be a street walker is during Folk Festival.
Yes. Okay. Very good. Well, anyway, it's a wonderful time, and like I said, there's a few kind of ugly deadlines out there. So
good luck with that.
Call me with questions.
Nice. Yes. And Nancy, where can you find this calendar, of course?
It is at the jahc.org website and also on the KTOO.org website. I will mention somebody called, they were confused and said, I looked for my thing on your concert, on the Arts Council's Concerts and Events page. The Concerts and Events page is our stuff. All of the community calendar stuff is on that sidebar on the main page. So
yeah.
There's a difference between the JAC, which is the building, and JAHC, which is the organization. People get confused.
Yeah,
me too.
Me too.
Yeah.
I wonder, is it the huh or the kuh of JAC?
All righty then.
Thank you very much, Nancy.
All right. We'll see you.
See you soon. And this is KTOO Juno. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Dock Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juno, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. Thanks for tuning in. You can stream live the Alaska 40th Folk Festival. Stream it live on KRNN.
If taxing, borrowing, and spending was working, we would know by now. It's not.
And with that, the Republican...